Welcome back to the SermonCoach.com podcast. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. I'm here with Dr. David Maines, the director of SermonCoach.com. We're helping pastors preach effective, life-transforming sermons. David, last time we talked about sermon introductions. I suppose it would be only fitting now to talk about sermon conclusions.
Fair enough, and this is harder. The introduction is always easier for me. The conclusion is the tough one. Okay, so this is going to be a hard session, okay?
Okay, I'll buckle my seatbelt.
Okay.
I take it you don't like the old adage, when you're preparing a sermon, look for 3 points and a poem.
You know what? I still hear sermons like that. Not nearly as often. Sometimes it's a hymn instead of a poem. I find a lot of times, and this is also true in terms of me, in earlier years, people aren't sure how to close. They know how to get the plane up there and to fly, but getting it down on the ground again is a toughie for them. So if I've shared with the congregation what's my subject, response, how to, how long, in whatever sequence I've done that, the question is, how do I want to end? Now, I usually ask myself, before trying to figure that out, what is it I need to say that I haven't said yet? So I may need to say, this is very serious to me. I think I'm telling you what God himself would say were he here. So that's an important thing. Maybe I just need to say, I need to wrap it up for you and put it all in a very concise form. So everything I've said is included here. I don't know. Maybe I need to come to the place where I think you got it all, but I need to inspire you, you know, or I need to say, you need to take this step. I don't want you to fail to respond to what I'm saying. I don't know, but I need to figure out in my head before I decide how I'm going to do it, what is it about this sermon that is important that I need to say that I haven't said yet that has to get across? And when I have that figured out, then I can figure out how to do that.
Okay. What about asking people to come forward as a way of concluding the sermon?
I think that's a cop-out a lot of times. I honestly do. I think that many times ministers use that because they haven't figured out what needs to be said yet that hasn't been said. Now, invitations, I'm for invitations. There are times to have them. If you're talking about a person's will and you're challenging their will, do you want to respond to Jesus as your Lord and Savior or don't you? Today is the time you need to make that decision, and I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that. We're going to offer an invitation. That to me is fair. If you're talking about a change of lifestyle and you've already said what that change is, I don't think people need to come forward to say, I've decided that I'm going to do that, or I'm going to work on the Bible reading program that you've laid. I mean, why do you have them come forward? A lot of times I think the invitation is that it's a habit that ministers have gotten into, and it's just they haven't figured out what it is they want. So in my mind, if I'm challenging the will of somebody and they can make a decision that very day that is going to be life transforming, then fine, I may invite them to do it. There may be better ways than that also. But in my mind, a lot of times it's just a routine. It's become a ritual. It's a given that just ministers automatically do it, and we're going to give an invitation. And I don't like that. I feel like I've been manipulated, and I feel like the man or woman preaching hasn't thought through what it is they really want by way of response, and they just went back to old number one. You know, so I may be wrong there, but that's my feeling about it. So,
okay, now last time when we talked about sermon introductions, we chose a text, then we brainstormed how to answer the 4 questions to resolve early in the sermon preparation. Then we came up with some fitting introduction ideas. Could we do that, only make it the conclusion instead of the introduction?
Well, if you want to try a text, I'm all for that, but we have to do it together, all right?
Fair enough.
Okay, I got a text here.
I think I've got a running grade. I got an A and then a B minus, so I'm averaging in there somewhere. We'll see how I do today.
Okay. I should have picked a harder text, I think. Okay, here's the text. This is Luke 14, and I'm trying to find the verses. I got it now. I just couldn't find it. Luke 10 is. It's good to have the. What kind of grade you give me on my finding a text? Not too good.
Well, you were only 4 chapters off. So that's okay.
Okay, I've been trying to find short texts because I don't want to take a long time to read a text. Everybody will recognize this, okay? As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Mary opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Mary was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." Okay, so there's the text. So having gotten a text, now we're talking about what's the subject, and I would just basically say some words to set up fast because we're going to try to get to the conclusion. We're in this always constant conflict of work or prayer. Do you become the contemplative or the activist, whatever? Anyway, Jesus is saying here that spending time with him is even better than doing service on his behalf. So of the two, Mary's chosen the better way. And I think we're talking about people evaluating their time and saying, I'm overly active or I'm sufficiently active in the work of the Lord, but I don't really spend that much time in the Lord's presence. So that's even better than all of the activity in which you're involved in, even though it's in God's work. So that's kind of the direction that I see people going. And what I would encourage people is if you are the Martha type and you want to become more the Mary type, what you need to do is to carve out times when you have opportunity to spend quality moments with the Lord. That's kind of where the text is going. That makes sense? So having said all of that, then the question is, what is it that you're going to use by way of conclusion? So I've said, okay, I know what the subject is. I know the response. I want people to say, I'm going to look at my schedule and I'm lacking really quality times with the Lord. And I'm going to try to find, and to be realistic, I'd say I'd want you to find a half hour to 45 minutes, maybe twice in this coming week as an ambitious thing for you to do. And I'm going to specifically say that because sometimes people think I need to spend 3 hours with the Lord. Well, that's not what's being called for, but just realistic quality time. And maybe twice is too much. Maybe we should just say one quality time, half hour to an hour, somewhere in there, where you're going to just sit with the Lord. Maybe read, pray, listen. I'm going to teach you how to listen to the Lord sometimes, but you're going to try to have one of those times where you said, you know what, in all of my busyness for you, Jesus, I did set aside that time, and I feel good about it. That's kind of where the sermon's going. Okay, now when I come to the conclusion, I've said all of that. What is it that I want to say by way of conclusion? So how am I going to end this thing? Now I'm passing off to you and saying anything come to your mind.